Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who by his saving work has made us God's children and heirs of heaven, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is one short verse from Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. In fact, it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had days or times where you needed some motivation to do your work? Only the days that end in Y, right? Maybe it's a particular task that you're dreading on a certain day, or maybe it's that you just don't like your job, or maybe you're just feeling lazy. You hear your alarm clock goes off in the morning and you really don't want to go to work. You really don't want to do much of anything at all. Whatever the reason, there are times in our lives, for all of us, aren't there, where we just really need someone or something to push us, to motivate us, to get us to get to work. As you know, a very special part of our worship service today is the installation of our new lower grade teacher, Mr. Isaac Schmidt. Isaac, I'm guessing that as you look ahead to your first day and your first week of school, you probably aren't in need of much of anything to motivate you, to tell you to get to work. I'm guessing after a very eventful summer and after lots of preparations, you are very much ready to finally get to work and do what you've been called to do, and that is teach. But even for you, a brand new teacher, there are going to be days and times where you're just not going to feel like it. You're just not going to want to do it. Maybe even dread it. Or at least dread certain parts of your work and certain parts of your calling. Again, it happens to all of us. Shockingly, it even happens to pastors. We have those days and we have those moments. It is a blessing to remember that that we get to work. It is a blessing from God. Work is actually something that God blesses us and our families with. But do we always remember or recognize its importance? Or realize or remember or recognize the fact that it is a blessing and a gift from God? The important blessing it is to us in our lives and in our world. Work is a gift from God. It really and truly is. God gave Adam and Eve work in the Garden of Eden, the job of cultivating and exercising dominion over the world, even before sin entered the world. So in a perfect world, God still had work for his people to do. Now, obviously, since the fall into sin, work has been corrupted. It's no longer the perfect thing that God intended it to be. It's far from it. It's no longer as fulfilling or beneficial or as joyful the service that God intended it to be. Work can be tedious. It can be stressful. It can be mundane. It can be downright awful at times. Yes, again, even for pastors and teachers and called workers in God's kingdom. But keep in mind that our work, no matter what our vocation is, and remember the word vocation is a word that comes from a word that means our calling, whatever our vocation, our calling is, it really is a blessing from God. Think about the fact that God most often works through regular physical means, and therefore that means that he often gives us his earthly gifts and his blessings through human work. Whenever anyone does something for you, if they make you a meal, if they clean your house, if they teach your children, preach a sermon, or develop software for your computer so you can actually go and get to work, be grateful. Be grateful for the people God uses to bless you through their work. When you think about it, our work, and in fact where we work, is actually one of the major reasons and major means by which God gives us opportunities to show love for God and love for our neighbor as he commands us. When he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Your work and your workplace is a great place for you to put that into practice. Martin Luther once wrote about the connection between our work and our love for God and our love for our neighbor when he wrote these words. He said, a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and the neighbor. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love. And as only Luther could put it, he said these words. He said, good works are not to be done for God. Rather, they must be done for one's neighbor. God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. It's also important to remember that God is at work in us and through us while we are working. He really is. God is at work in you while you are working. If we think of the work that we do each day, whether it's at home or maybe at school, whether it's in an office or on an assembly line, when we think of that work as the ministry that God has given us, won't that change the way we look at our work? Ministry is a word that we hear often in church or in church circles, but really it's a word that just means service. Your work is your service, your ministry that God has given to you. And ministry, as it's defined in the New Testament, is any service performed by a Christian that is motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit that benefits people and gives glory to God. That's why the Apostle Paul could write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How can we bring glory to God through our work? Scripture consistently teaches that whatever our work is, whether it's through public ministry, the saving of souls through the teaching and preaching of his gospel, or something as mundane or maybe even as lowly as cleaning toilets, we should do it with diligence. We should do it with excellence. We should do it with a self-sacrifice that honors our God and our Savior and serves others. Jesus once said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think of the ways in which our work glorifies God, benefits our neighbors, and lets our light shine to the world, the light of Christ shine to the world, when we do our work with integrity and honesty. When we do our work with diligence, with excellence and skill, and do it to the best of our ability, the ability to, from which God gives us. When we do our work with thankfulness and joy. When we do our work with love. Again, as Paul says, let all you do be done with love. Think of how the light of Christ will shine in our work when we do those things. Our work then does become service, and in fact it becomes a worship to God when we dedicate it to him, perform it to his glory, and with an awareness that he is working in us and through us to bless others. Now, it wouldn't really even be possible or even desirable for us to get to work if it weren't for the fact that God has already gotten to work for us and in us. Remember the words of our short sermon text for today from Philippians chapter 2. In fact, it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. Such an important verse in the scriptures. It reminds us that it is God who gives you the motivation, the want to, and the ability to carry out the work he has given you today. May that be a source of strength and comfort to all of us, but especially to you today, Isaac, as you approach the overwhelming responsibility and yet the very blessed privilege of teaching Jesus' little lambs in our school. It is God who is working. It is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of His good pleasure. Doesn't that help to take the pressure off of you, off of us? He places that responsibility on Himself to give you the desire and give you the ability to carry out His work and to do His purpose. That, of course, is part of His grace. That is the most important part of His work for us, a part that has nothing to do with our work, but has everything to do with Jesus' work. Again, as Paul says in Ephesians, "Indeed, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." His perfect work, Jesus' perfect life, Jesus' innocent death on the cross to pay for our sins, His glorious resurrection from the grave, that work earned us forgiveness. That work gives us God's unending love and eternal life in heaven with Him. In fact, God now counts our work, amazingly, as flawed and as tainted and as sometimes as poor as it is, He counts our work as righteous, as perfect in His sight. The Apostle Paul once said in Romans chapter 4, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." When God looks at us because of Jesus, because of our faith in Him, He sees our works as righteousness. So when we are struggling to find the motivation to get to work, when our boss, our teacher, or our parents have to tell us, "Get to work," may we always remember what a blessing and a privilege it is to get to work. And so it's my prayer for you, Isaac, and for all of us as we go about our work and our service to God. The same prayer of the Apostle Paul that he prayed for the Philippian Christians in the chapter that comes right before this sermon text. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.